God's put this on my heart. I just want to give you this real quick, and then and we'll get into the lesson. But you know, you read about a lot of things going on in the world today, and so maybe this is just something, you know, for you guys to go study on your own. I'm not going to teach about it tonight, but God just gave me this, so I'm going to give it to you. You know, we read about. You know, we see what's going on, and a lot of people in the church and a lot of Christians think, you know, is this going to be when, you know, our faith is tested, and are we going to be persecuted? And you see a lot of people, man, this is a really scary time, okay? But if you'll look real quick in the first chapter of Daniel, and I'll read this. You can go and find it later. Like I say, I don't know why God's put this on my heart, but I'm just going to read this real quick. And then, you know, you can go and you can take and study it if God puts it on you or when you have time. But it says that, you know, Daniel was written during the captivity of the Jews. This is when the Babylonians had gone and they had overtaken Jerusalem, and they had carried the Jews off into captivity, and they had come and they had brought them into Babylon. And Daniel starts out talking about four men, and it's Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, you would know those three men better as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, but their Jewish names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Okay, the Babylonians changed their names to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All right, and so the Babylonians had a philosophy that they were going to bring the best of the young Jews that they could find, and they were going to try to almost like program them into Babylonian society and try to integrate them into Babylonian society. And so we'll pick this up in verse 5. It said, "And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and unto Hananiah of Shadrach, and unto Mishael, Meshach, and unto Azariah, Abednego." Now, verse 8 is, like I say, this is kind of what he's put on my heart. "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." No matter how bad it gets out there, we need to have that attitude of Daniel. You know, Daniel could have said, man, they're bringing me, you know I'm going to be fed every day and I'm going to be fed good. But Daniel decided not to take the things of the world. He said, I'm not going to defile myself with what you offer me. I'm going to do what's right in God's eyes. And in whatever goes on out in this world, if we'll do what's right according to God, God's going to take care of us. All right. There's no reason for us to be scared in these last days. There's no reason for us to panic. There's no reason for us to worry. God has promised that He will take care of us, and we need to stand on that promise. That's what faith is standing on the promises of God and believing that which He has promised, that He is also able to perform. Amen? All right. Like I say, now turn over if you would, Matthew chapter 7, and we'll get into the lesson this evening. I want to talk about judging. Seems like you hear a lot of that lately. You know, anytime someone is questioned about something that they do, or anytime we talk to people, you know, the first thing a lot of times that comes out of their mouth is, "Who are you to judge me?" Right? I mean, you know, you go, and you know what? It's not just lost people. It really isn't. I mean, I've had conversations with people, and not like judging them at all, but, you know, say, "Hey, you know, we'd really like to see you back in church." "Well, why are you judging my faith?" Like, "I'm not judging your faith. I just like to have church with you." You know, but it seems like that's the thing that everybody comes back with now, and that's a prevalent thought in society, is that, "Oh, you're not allowed to judge." Right? That judging is bad. Well, I mean, once we get into what the actual definition of judging is, we'll find that we as Christians, we have every right to judge in the proper context. Okay? I mean, matter of fact, we're called to. Okay? Now, when we start, and we'll get into this, when we try to start judging from a position of authority and with the intent of condemning someone or punishing someone, that's what the Bible speaks about when it talks about, you know, what we're getting ready to read here. So look in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Pretty prevalent. And you know what? If you talk to somebody who is lost, and, you know, maybe this is the one verse here that a lot of people who are lost, well, the Bible says, judge not. Well, I mean, you can take three words out of the Bible anywhere, and you can bring that around to however you want it to mean. Right? I mean, you know, when Paul told Timothy to take a little wine, drink no longer water, but take a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine oft infirmities. Well, you know what? If you want to drink, you can just point to that verse right there. Bible says I can drink all I want to. Well, unless you realize the context that those people didn't have ibuprofen back then. They didn't have Tylenol. You know, they didn't have 800 milligram, you know, ibuprofen that'll put you in la-la land. So that's not what Paul was telling Timothy, which is, hey, man, just go drink however you want to. Like, hey, man, I know you got stomach problems, and so now drink a little bit of this wine to help your stomach, not to, you know, go out and, you know, have fun with your boys. But people will take that verse right there. Oh, the Bible's okay with it. You know, they neglect to look at the part where it says, give not thyself into drunkenness. Oh, we'll look past that part, right? You know, we won't think about that. Or, you know, where it says over in Proverbs, you know, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a raging, and any man that is deceived thereby is not wise. We'll just pass up that part, and we'll just say, well, Paul told Timothy to drink, so I'm okay. Right? So that's why it's good for us to study the Word of God. So when people bring up these verses, like, or these three words or four words, and they want to hammer on that, then that's when we have the knowledge of God's Word to say, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because I've studied that. And really, when you look at what they're saying, that's not what they're saying. God is actually saying this. And now you make it to where, oh, well, I can't use that on you anymore. And that's really what we need to do. I mean, we need to make it to where we know the Bible so well. Okay, now, are we ever going to know everything in the Bible? No, we're not. But we need to know the Bible well enough that people who are outside, people who are lost, or maybe people who aren't strong Christians, to where they can't use that to justify sinful or immoral behavior, and then we just can't say anything about it. Well, yeah, it kind of does say that, right? I mean, that's why we're supposed to study God's Word. Okay, so Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. Okay, now I just want to stop right there. That word judge, all right, the Greek word of that is krino, K-R-I-N-O, okay? Now, look, if you want to write this definition down, I think it would be really important, okay, because the definition, and this is not the Webster's Dictionary definition, this is actually the Greek definition and what this would have meant when Jesus said this. By the way, this is written in red, okay, but so Jesus said this. To distinguish, to choose, to form an opinion upon, or to condemn, right? So there's several ways to judge, right? And so the correct way that we're supposed to judge, are we supposed to know right from wrong? I mean, we are. Now God gives us the Holy Spirit to know right and wrong, but how can we decide what's right and wrong if we don't judge something? Right? I mean, you know, if I'm driving down, I mean, I see Gary a lot on the road. You know, I mean, I probably run, you know, because, you know, I mean, yeah, well, he's everywhere, I'm everywhere, you know, I see him all the time. Now, if I'm driving down the road and I'm, you know, swerving in the ditch and I'm, you know, running people off the road and all that, does Gary have a right to judge my driving? Absolutely he does. He's going to form a real quick opinion that this old boy can't drive. And he'd be right. Okay? Now, so we have every right, and we're called to form an opinion and to distinguish. Right? So that's the difference when we talk about judging. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. So
When we think about judging, the first thing that we need to get into our mind, when we're deciding right or wrong, okay, and that's either right or wrong of things that we do or right or wrong of things that somebody else does, okay? I find we judge a lot of what other people do, but very rarely do we ever look at the mirror and judge what we do. Right? We judge other people on their actions, and we judge ourselves on our intentions. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. So we need to understand with what intent, okay, when we look at is a person right or is a person wrong, or am I right or am I wrong? What intent do I have in distinguishing what that person is doing, okay? And we'll just go ahead and get into this, okay? Do I have the intent to try to condemn or punish that person for what they are doing, okay? Or do I have the intent of wanting to help that person restore their walk with Christ, all right? And that's the thing that we really need to focus on when we're looking and when, like, maybe somebody is doing something that we know that they're not supposed to be doing. Maybe somebody who claims to be a Christian. I find, you know, we run into that a lot. You know, you might see somebody that, you know, maybe they came to church here, or maybe, you know, they go to church somewhere else and they claim to be a Christian, but then all of a sudden you see, you know, these actions come from this person, and you know that, hey, that's not something that a person who loves God, that's not something that a person who is a born-again Christian should do, okay? So now I'm going to say something to that person, okay? The Bible says, the Bible has no problem with us going to people and expressing, you know, the fact that they're wrong about something, okay? So when we talk about judging, the difference is what is our intent when going to that individual, okay? And that's what Jesus is saying right here. Judge not that ye be not judged, okay? And then look at the second one here. For with what judgment ye judge, you shall be judged, okay? So, are we judging with the intent to condemn, or are we judging with mercy? Do we see the difference? Right? Because a lot of times, you know, somebody will do something, or we see somebody doing something wrong, and it's, man, we want to drop the hammer on that person. Okay? And what Jesus is saying right here is that if you get a reputation for judging to condemn and punish, guess what people are going to want to turn around and do to you? Right? How many have read the account of the servant that owed the master an amount that couldn't be counted, and the master forgave that servant, and then turned around, that servant went, and a fella owed him, you know, like $2, I believe is what it was, and it said that he grabbed him by the neck and he put him up against the wall and he had him cast into prison for $2. And so the master finds out and says, "You evil, wicked man, I forgave you of everything. You should have turned around and done the same thing to this guy," but he didn't. And that's judging. That's the difference between judging with mercy and judging with the intent to condemn or punish. By the way, whose responsibility is it to punish? Is it mine? Is it his? Is it yours? "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." Okay? Now that's talking about in the world. Now we could get into, you know, church discipline and all that stuff, and I will just tell you, you know, that as pastors, you know, we are called reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. That's what Paul told Timothy when he was going to the church at Ephesus. So as far as the church is related, it's our job, okay? It's my job, it's his job to preach against sin,
okay? And I know that there's been time, you know, where we get up here and man, it just, I mean, it steps right on your feet and all that. And look, understand that this is not like personal. This is preaching the Word of God. It's not us judging. It's us preaching the gospel. Okay, God's the one that's going to judge you. I'm not going to judge you. Okay, but I'm talking about out in the world here. You know, it's our job to judge with mercy. Okay, because now that is the witness that we set out to the world that, you know what? A normal person wouldn't have done that. Because, you know, everybody in the world will tell you, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, right? Somebody does you wrong, you turn around, you do them wrong, okay? If somebody punches you in the mouth, you turn around, you punch them twice in the mouth, okay? I mean, that's what we say. But mercy is what distinguishes us, okay? Because mercy is really rare, all right? And so that's what we're talking about when judging. Are we judging to condemn or are we judging with mercy, okay? Now, let's look here real quick. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, all right? So when people tell you the Bible says not to judge, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. You all see that? You know what that is? You can distinguish that person by their fruit. Okay? You can judge that person by their fruit. Does that mean you're judging to condemn or judging to punish? No. That means you're judging. Okay? And then if it's put onto you to talk to that person. Now, this is talking about false prophets. Okay, so what that means is when you see somebody who claims to be a preacher or claims to be a pastor or a teacher of the Word, when you see what comes out of them is not consistent with what the Word of God says, then that is the sign for you to get away from that individual. Okay? You say, well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says mark them. Okay? Mark them. Which cause division. And which cause division and offenses, and walk contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Okay? No, we don't have to have fellowship. Now, and this will make people mad. That doesn't bother me. I mean, that's what the Bible says, okay? We do not have to be in fellowship with people who do not believe what the Word of God says. Okay? And people say, oh, you're supposed to love everybody. Hey, I can love you and not want to be around you. I can love you and make sure that I keep my distance from you if what you believe goes directly against the Word of God. And I'll just tell you this. I mean, like I say, you know, all we hear now is unity, unity, unity. You know, we need to come together and all this stuff. Hey, we don't have to come together with sin. We do not. Okay, so if by unity you mean that I have to accept the fact that you believe that it's okay for a baby to be born and you set that baby on a table and then the mother gets to decide whether or not that baby lives or not, no, we're not going to be unified. I mean, we are not. Okay, that's just the way it is. You know, if you believe that it's okay for Seth to go over here and work his hind end off to provide for his family during the week and me sit on my hind end and do absolutely nothing, but then me get part of what Seth makes, no, we're not going to be unified. Now, the Bible says that too. It says, you know, a new commandment, this is no new commandment that I give you, that if a man shall not work, then he shall not eat. And says, a man that will not take care of his family is worse than an infidel. Okay? So no, we don't have to be unified with people like that. Now, should we care about their souls and should we tell them about the gospel? Absolutely. But no, we don't walk step by step or step in step with those type of people. Okay? That's just the way it is. We don't have to. Matter of fact, the Bible says, come ye out of the world. Amen. All right? And be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing,
and I will be unto you a father, and ye shall be my sons. Okay? Come out of the world. See, that's what everybody says. Oh, just come and be a part of the world, and everybody will love you. No, they won't. No, they won't. They're not going to love. They just want you, they want to get you close enough to them so Satan can destroy your witness, and there's another one that they got. Now, that's just the way it is. Okay? So, but yes, we are to judge. We are to judge the fruit. Okay? Now, this just popped in my mind here, and I'm going to see if I can find this. This doesn't just apply to lost people doing things wrong. This actually also applies, I believe maybe it's in Galatians. Okay, turn over to Galatians chapter 5. I hear Garrett say this a lot. We're to be fruit inspectors, right? Yes, we are. We're to be fruit inspectors, not for the purpose of exerting authority or the purpose of condemning or casting someone out. We are to be fruit inspectors, especially when it comes to Christians, for the purpose that if that Christian is not putting forth the fruit that we should from the Holy Spirit, then now it is up to us. You know, if you see your brother overtaken in a fault, you go to him in the spirit of meekness, lest you be tempted yourself. Okay? So now I want to look at this here real quick. Fruit inspectors. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, do you see that word right there, fruit? Do you notice that there's no S behind that? The fruit of the Spirit. And I just noticed that. I can't remember. I heard a guy say that one time. And I'd never looked at that before, because I would always look at the fruits of the Spirit and I would say, okay, how many of these do I have? Right? Okay, I think I have love, I have joy, I have peace. Well, we'll skip long-suffering because I don't have that one, but 3 out of 4 ain't bad, right? Gentleness, 3 out of 5 ain't bad. Goodness, okay, you know, 4 out of 6. Faith, yeah, I think my faith is okay, so 5 for 7 is good. Meekness, 5 out of 8. Temperance, 5 out of 9. So I'm hitting better than 50. I'm hitting better than 500 here. Okay, so for baseball fans, you know, that's pretty good. But you know what I notice here? There's no S behind that fruit. So you know what that means? It's not distinguishable. As Christians, we should have all of these. You see that? Now, are there some that we have more of? Yeah, absolutely. Okay, but as Christians, this is what, I mean, if we want to take a test as Christians, is do people see these fruits, the fruit of the Spirit in us? Okay, so when we're talking about fruit inspectors, this is what we're talking about. Okay, does the born-again Christian, does their life bear this fruit? Okay? And if it does, then you know what? If you don't agree with them on something, or maybe they do something one time that you don't agree with, hey, that doesn't mean that you go to them and, you know, you get people, oh, they do one thing, it's my job to correct them right now. Do you not think that the Holy Spirit, I mean, if they're truly a born-again Christian, that the Holy Spirit will correct them of that? Or at least we'll bring that to their attention, and then they have the opportunity to repent of that. I mean, look, I'm just going to tell you this, and I would say that he would say the exact same thing. God puts it on me when I'm supposed to go talk to somebody. I mean, God puts it on me when it's my job to correct somebody. Okay, so it's not me, you know, like a chicken in the chicken pen just going around hunting for somebody that I could try to drop a hammer on. Okay? And we need to watch doing that, that we try to come off so righteous to people by correcting every mistake that somebody makes, that we come off being like a Pharisee. Right? And if you read a lot in the New Testament, a lot of the times when Jesus talks about judging, he's talking to Pharisees. Why? Because Pharisees, when they judged to condemn or punish. They didn't judge out of mercy. You say, well, how do you know that? I'm glad you asked that. Turn over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we'll be in the beginning of the chapter here. The scene set that Jesus is in the temple. He's teaching. And we have all read this account. I've preached on it. I've heard, I don't know how many preachers preach on it. Verse 3 says, "And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act." Okay? Now that's important. Okay? They didn't come to Jesus and say, "Master, we heard that this woman had an affair with a married man." Or, "Master, I saw that man, that married man come out of that woman's house." It says that they were caught. I mean, I'm glad that there's not kids in here. It says that they were caught in the very act of adultery. Okay, now let's put our judging hats on here. Okay? Are we supposed to judge between right and wrong when it comes to that? Absolutely we are. Right? We are supposed to stand for what's right against what's wrong. Okay, so don't think, "Oh, well, if I was a Christian, I would just tell that woman, don't worry about that." You know what you do when you compromise with someone on the sin that they commit and act like that it's no big deal? Then now you pit them against God, because sin to God is a big deal. And now you rate sin. And you know what? The lie is a sin to God just the same as adultery is. Okay? It absolutely is. All right, so don't minimize sin around people. And you know, somebody says, "Oh well, you know, I kind of did this, and I feel bad about it." And you're just, "Oh, it's okay." No, it's not okay. Okay, and as Christians, as heralds of the gospel, it's our job to tell people that that's not okay. Okay, you are allowed, as a Christian, to stand up and say, "No, that's not right." Okay? And look, there's going to be a lot of times where you know, if you're like Daniel, okay, and you say, "No, I'm not going to participate with the world. I'm going to stand for what God says." You know, I'd say a lot of people said that you were judging them in what you do as far as abortion goes, right? Just because somebody says something doesn't make it true. Okay? You know in your heart whether or not you're telling somebody they're wrong for the sake of, "Man, I hope by what I tell you maybe brings conviction upon you, and the Holy Spirit brings conviction upon you, and you see that your sin is a sin against God, and that you want to make that right with God by being saved and accepting the blood of Jesus Christ." But you know, just because somebody says, "Don't judge me," that doesn't mean you have to say, "Oh, okay, I won't say anything else." Stand up for what's right. Amen. Okay? But have the right intent in standing up for what's right. We don't want to tell somebody they're wrong and say, "Hey, you're wrong, and I hope you end up in hell just to prove that you're wrong." What kind of Christian would we be to do that? So when we tell people that they are wrong, it ought to be for mercy and for restoration. Okay? And look, this is what it says. Look at verse 5. Now this is the Pharisees talking to Jesus. "Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what say you?" Okay? So now, we see the tale of two judgments here is what we see. Okay? And it's just like we've talked about before. We have, number one, the Pharisees that were judging with the intent to punish. Okay? The law says this, and since I am the authority of the law here, it's my job to take this woman and to stone her. Okay? That's what they're saying. I mean, that's what they want. They want Jesus to say, you know what? You're absolutely right. The Bible says that a woman caught in adultery with a married man, that both of them should be killed, or they should be stoned. That's what they were looking for, because they wanted to judge to condemn. Now, look what Jesus does. And this they said, tempting him, this is verse 6, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And you know what? That's really when we're going to go confront someone about right or wrong, you better make sure that you've gotten your sin taken care of. Right? Because what we come off is being hypocrites if... Now, are we going to make mistakes? Absolutely. Are some of those mistakes going to be public? Yeah. Yeah, probably so. But as long as you know in your heart that there's no sin in your life that would preclude you from going and talking to that person. You know, because that's what Jesus is saying here. Okay, all you righteous fellows, whichever one of you has never sinned. And I really wonder if Jesus wasn't talking about, I really wonder if the context that Jesus is saying is, okay, the one of you that's never committed adultery, you throw the first stone. Because what is adultery? What did Jesus say adultery was? Adultery didn't say, or Jesus didn't say that adultery was just jumping into the sack. You know, Jesus said, hey, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, that you have committed adultery. And I think that probably every one of these fellas, and men, we're not excluded, and ladies, I don't know. If I knew how you all think, I'd write a book. But, you know, that's just, but I mean, you know, I mean, men, you say, you know how it is, right? I would say the majority of men have committed adultery the way Jesus defined it at one point in time. And so that's what Jesus is saying here. You who are without sin, you cast the first stone. So now that sin now confronts them, and it's like, okay. So now they can't throw a stone because they know that they have sin in their life. Right? That's why we have to be really careful when we're judging people, is that to make sure that, you know, that we're right with God. Okay? Now, look at verse 8. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. Now get this picture. You know, this woman was surrounded by all these Pharisees who's wanting to throw rocks at her head. And Jesus, you know, you who are without sin. So they realize that they have sin. And so they all walk out. And so now here's this woman that's been thrown to the ground at Jesus' feet, surrounded by all these men. Now it's just her and Jesus. It's just her and Jesus. Now, Jesus is going to show the right judgment. And when Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. Now, look what Jesus says here. Now, when we're talking about judgment, this is perfect judgment right here. Neither do I condemn thee. So the one that had every right to condemn her, right? God in the flesh did not go. But look at that last part. Go and sin no more, right? So what's Jesus saying here? Hey, I'm not telling you what you did was right. What you did was wrong, right? go, don't do it anymore. Right? That's how we talk to people, you know, when we're talking about sin. Hey, will God forgive you that sin? Yes, absolutely. Should you go back and do the same thing again? Absolutely not. Right? Okay. So do we see the difference between punishing with the intent or judging with the intent to punish versus judging with the intent to be able to show mercy? Okay? All right. Real quick, how are we supposed to judge? Matt, if you want to just write these down, I'll go over them here real quick because I don't want to keep you very long. Matthew 22, verses 35 through 40, had a young man come to Jesus and say, "Master, what is the greatest law?" Right? "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." Okay, that's the first. Okay? "And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, does anybody remember what Jesus told that man right after that? "On these two laws hang all the laws and the prophets." So what is everything based on? Everything that we do, everything that God does, okay, it's based on love. So when we're judging people, the first thing that we need to do is to judge that person out of our love for God, okay? And next is to judge that person out of love for them. You see that? Every person in here has passed judgment on their youngins at some point in time. Right? Now, sometimes this old boy passes judgment with the intent to punish. Right? But you know what is so much better? Is as parents, when we judge something to be wrong and we have the right to punish, but we show mercy. Right? I mean, that to me, I remember those a lot more. Now, the youngins probably remember it a lot different. I mean, they probably remember getting whipped, you know, other than, you know, the times where I said, you know, okay, don't do it again, right? But that's the attitude. So when we are judging, when we are deciding right and wrong, okay, number one, it ought to be based on our love for God, okay, and it ought to be based on our love for them, okay? And And we need to check that, right? We need to treat those people like we love them, okay? That doesn't mean we have to agree with everything that they do. Now, what should be the end result of that? Turn over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. "Brethren," now we know right now Paul's writing to the church at Galatia, and when he says "brethren," that he is talking to Christians. He's talking to born again believers. "If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Now, what's the first thing that we have to do to know that somebody's overtaken in a fault? We have to distinguish that, do we not? We have to judge that that is a fault, right? I mean, we have to judge that is wrong, okay? So yeah, I mean, can we do that? Absolutely we can. But now, look what the purpose of that should be. "If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual," do what? Restore. Okay? Restore. When we're talking about judging and we're talking about correcting, our sole focus, okay? Our sole focus, and we can look at this as lost and saved both. All right,
If we're going to go to that person that is a Christian, that we see that, you know, they are not exhibiting those fruits, and God has put it on you to go talk to that person, you know, you go and you judge what that person is doing is wrong. But the whole intent of going to that person should be for restoration. And you know what? I'm not talking about restoration to you. I'm talking about restoration to God. Okay, that person might get mad what you say, and they might never talk to you again. But if that person, because of what you said, now repents, and now they are back in a right relationship with God, that's what matters. You'll restore with them when Jesus comes back. Okay? But also for lost, are we not trying to get them to accept the way that God gave them to be restored back to Him? So when we're judging what people do as far as lost and whether or not it's a sin or not, do we stand for what's right? Absolutely, we stand for what's right. Do we seek to punish or to condemn? No. What we say to them should be for restoration to Jesus Christ.